about. How's it going, guys? Welcome back to another episode 3 of All Things 101. It's your boy JP, hashtag your auntie's favorite D1 player.
With you as always is Hughes. Tonight we have a very special guest, one of our very important friends and a personal mentor of mine. He's a
media director, not only for himself, but for PGF Performance. He's a videographer, content creator for In The Lab.
And that's going to be Mr. Calvin Mai himself. Calvin, say what's up to the followers. Let them know.
Welcome to the Pack Podcast, my boy.
What's up, guys? Appreciate for having me on right now.
Appreciate you for joining, man. How's it going out there, bro?
It's pretty good right now. I'm in Calabasas right now. I'm just at PGF Performance headquarters, just chilling on a recliner chair, just with my AirPods on and just kicking it back right now.
So you just living life?
Yeah, I'm just living life right now, just doing what I love right now at the moment.
Okay, I like that. So what the thing that you said you're doing what you love, what is that? And can you elaborate more on that and kind of shed some light to our listeners as to what you're doing for your work?
So basically most of what I do is just like I make videos. That's like the generic thing I do. Do you guys want me to just get started with like where I started off with, or just a general side of it?
Yeah, basically like, you know, where you drew that inspiration from and like why you wanted to start making like, you know, videos for others and kind of just like putting, you know, their like life and what they do out there for the public to see.
Okay, I'll try to sum it up as much as possible because this is a bit of a long story, because like I basically did this when I was a kid. So I was always watching TV, like how everyone was back then. Like I just watched TV all the time and just movies. Like that's all I would do.
Right.
So there was like one day I was just on the computer. I was just completely bored. Like I didn't want to play games or do anything. So I would just like look through all the softwares that were on the computer. And then I stopped by Windows Movie Maker. That was like the first like editing software that, like back then. So I started playing with that a lot, and then I realized like, oh, this is how people make videos and stuff. So that's all I did. Like literally my first video I ever made was back in the day, everyone would watch like those songs where they have like the lyrics over and over. So I learned how to do that first. And I got it's really funny, but I got really addicted to doing that. And then I realized like, oh, I want to make stories, because I was always on YouTube. So after that, I hit my first eighth grade project. They were like, oh, you guys got to learn how to use Movie Maker and how to make videos. And that was like the big opener for me, that like I realized I was doing a lot of things that I didn't expect already at such a young age. Like I was already directing, I was creating stories, and then I was learning how to edit as well. And I knew how to use the camera because I just picked it up. I just like grabbed my mom's camera. So then after that, throughout high school, like all I did was like make YouTube videos with my friends and just be very creative. And, like I directed all of that. I just made the story. I did everything.
Right. And when you started making those YouTube videos, was that kind of like this, like the start of where everything took off? Or how did these like content creators and these like, you know, NBA trainers that you're working with right now and NBA players, how did they find you? And were you the one to reach out, or were you kind of just like waiting for that opportunity to get to you, or did you go out and grab that opportunity for yourself?
So let's fast forward to that then instead. So we'll ignore the high school stuff. So basically like towards the end of my high school and during the beginning of my college years, I wanted to go like film basketball. And then like my first like ever mixtape I ever made is like at the Nike Extravaganza. I think it was 2015, and then LaMelo was playing. I'm like, oh, I'm just like film. So I brought my camera, and then I went in the stands and I filmed it.
Right.
And then after that,
what year did you say real quick?
2015.
Hey, shout out to LaWare, bro, because I also played in that tournament. Yeah.
But definitely not. I don't remember that.
No, I did. Look it up, Cal.
I'll look it up, and I'll probably see it definitely not there. But After that tournament, I realized like I had a passion to like low key make videos for basketball, and then I followed Paul PGF Performance and Devin already like in the beginning of like high school and stuff, and then like I'd always watch your videos, and then out of nowhere this is when Instagram story was like first started. He was the first person I hit up because he asked for someone like, hey, is there someone in the Anaheim area that in the Anaheim area, because I'm looking for a videographer.
Right.
And so, like, but like, how confident did you feel like reaching out? Like, did you just do it based off like, you know what, like, I hope he knows, like, he can respond back? Or were you like, no, like, this is going to be it. Like, he's going to respond.
No, I did it with like, just a leap of faith. Like, I'm going to just do it. If nothing happens, nothing happens, you know, because like, that's what happened to the rest of the time. So I hit him up, and I barely had any like videos as my resume. And then for some reason, out of nowhere, he's like, oh, some of the videos you showed were really good. And then he called me, and then he's like, can you start, let's just say Monday, for example.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, sure. But like, in my head, I didn't think about money. I was so starstruck because this is like, I want to say he's like one of my idols, but he's like someone like I follow. And it's just weird that like, there's someone that has such a big following at that time. And then you're just like,
you're just on yeah, the wave with him.
Yeah, it's really unexpected that like, oh, he actually responded.
Right.
And
what's it like rubbing shoulders with like people that, you know, are at the place where you want to be in life? What's it like rubbing shoulders with them, and like what kind of influence do they bring into your life and like your work ethic?
So that's where it comes to Devin. So I'll go into that story a little bit. So for Devin, it was like, I could ramble as long as I want, but just to shorten it, I met his business manager first, Navin, and I told Navin, like, yo, like if you guys need a videographer, let me know. And then when I first linked up with Devin, like, he's my mentor, because like Paul's great and everything, and like he teaches me some stuff,
right?
But Devin literally like went to school for film. Like, he start like the like, if anybody wants to know more about Devin, he basically does documentaries. And that's what I got really into, like, when I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's really important because, like, when I was working with Paul, and, like, I'm just reaching out to all these trainers, Jordan Lawley, DJ Sackman, I film for Slam Now. Like, all those people, like, I reach out to, that's all me. But, like, there's no one really there to, like, critique me hard. So, right. He always critiques me. So, it's really nice that, like, just to have someone that I could relate to and understands like every single like vocabulary I speak out, and he understands the shots, and he sends me links like to help me out.
Absolutely. And I think that's super dope that you have that kind of like, you know, mentor figure in your life. What do you suggest to like, you know, younger up and coming videographers? Like, what piece of advice would you give them if they're trying to get to, well, not specifically where you're at in life, but, you know, kind of just have that same success where they're rubbing shoulders with those that are, you know, like their idols, so to speak?
So the best way to describe that is just like keep working on yourself. I don't know how many times I can say that, because like there's a lot of people that will like, especially young, because like I was in that position where like I didn't know what to do and like whatnot, and everybody else was beating me to the spot,
right?
And I always say like, you need to beat yourself first before you like compare yourself to anybody else. And like the number one thing is equipment doesn't matter,
right?
It does in a way, which can contradict, but equipment doesn't matter, because if you're relying on like a, let's say, a $5,000 camera, but you don't know anything at all how to use it, then it's a waste of content you're gonna make,
right? And I so feel like sorry to cut you off. I feel like that's where a lot of people are kind of just like, they already want to start successful. They don't want to, you know, trust the process. It sounds so cliche, but like, they don't want to go through that struggle. They just already want to be like, hey, I want to bump shoulders with him. I want to talk to him, and I want to already just be well known, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that, because that's how I felt like in the very beginning. Like, I started with a $500 camera at the time when I first started filming basketball, everything.
Right.
But I was so lucky to have like Tom in my life, because he had a Sony A7 II at the time. So That's what I'm gonna compare it to. It was a $2,000 camera. So like, if you don't, if you think your camera is not that best, but you have someone that you can rely on to help you out with your passion, then honestly, just ask, like, ask, you know, like, that's why I'm so thankful for Tom, because like, he would let me borrow his camera here and there, but if you borrow someone's camera, but you don't know how to use it, then there's no point.
Right.
But I learned how to use it. And then I learned how to use my camera. Every time you use your camera and you just go out and shoot. So this is where it comes to the next step. Just keep practicing, because like, once the camera's in your hand every single day, then you're going to get better at it.
Right. And with that amount of practice, like, how many hours would it take for you? Cause I know, like, there must be like a lot of people that hit you up asking you to, like, oh, can you make a quick mix for me? Can you chop something up for me? Can you make a quick video for my company, wedding, whatever it may be? Shed some light on that, because I know a lot of people are kind of ignorant to the whole, like, film and creating industry. And I feel like that's where you guys get a lot of, like, you know, backlash, and you guys don't really get a lot of credit for what you guys do. It's like, what's the process like in making a video, and like, what does it take? You know, how many hours does it take to make a 3 second, 30 second, 3 minute video?
So like, mostly like, so this is where I'll go into Slam, for example, because that's like one of the biggest ones, and it all depends. Like, if you're just trying to, like, for us to post on social media, like, okay, that's a highlight,
right?
Then we're gonna post it right away. But like, if you're trying to like post the whole game with highlights, you want to do it like right out, like, you want to do it during the game. Like, I've done it so many times where like, I'm holding my camera, I'm editing with my laptop, like, every quarter, like, after every end of the quarter, I'm putting the clips together at the same time, every single timeout. So basically, I'm doing everything within that hour. I'm shooting in an hour, I'm editing in an hour. So that takes time. But mixes, that's totally completely different. Like, if I have a deadline, then I'm gonna spend like hours and lose sleep, because I need to hit that deadline to post it.
Right.
So let's say if it's someone like big, and then I'm trying to hit it like at a certain day, let's say just before their college announcement, okay? Because that's usually big. Like, that's a good timing. Like, or like when their season's ending, like their last game, and then the next day you want to post it.
Right.
I would honestly spend. Shoot, probably for a minute video, probably like 6 to 10 hours, 6 to 10 or 12. I want to say 12 at most. That's the most I've done. If I think about it, I've done 12 hours just sitting at my laptop, not just because of like, just looking, because you have to look at all the games. So you have to look at all the games, the best highlights. You got to start organizing that. You got to find the best song that fits it. You can't just use every, like, I listen to like probably 3 hours worth of songs just to look for the right song for this person.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, and then I would get into adding effects, and then rendering means like putting the video together and letting it finish, like all the effects you throw in at it, and then saving it and then uploading it afterwards. That takes so much time and like value. That's why like it bugs me a lot when someone's like, I get this a lot for sure, like, hey, can you make me a mix,
right?
And can you have it done today? I'm like, absolutely not, because like I'm at the point where I'm like, absolutely not. If they say tomorrow, it depends, because I'm like very busy. But I value my work so much. I value quality over quantity. That's why I haven't really been posting right now, because I'm so busy doing other people's content right now that like I don't have time for myself. But like, once I have time to sit, like, that's it. Like, you won't see me for the rest of the day.
And to, like, go off of that, like, there's this question that, like, I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of people want to know. Like, what would you say the biggest, like, change has been from, like, when you started to now? Like, what's something that you carry that you're so, like, blessed that you've learned that you, like, you're so happy with?
Yeah, especially since, like you said, you're more careful, you're more selective. Yeah, like, what has that brought on to help that change?
So what woke me up was probably like self-value, because I self-value and time.
Right.
So just for all the audience, like, just remember time and value, because when I first started out, I just threw myself everywhere. Like, I tried to get as much work as possible. I was picking up too much apples from the tree, basically, because I was like I said, I was working with Paul. I tried getting within the lab. I was working with Jordan Lawley for a bit. I was working with this trainer called Micah Lancaster. Like, this was like a big time. Like, they were trying to do this program, and I was just everywhere. I was just trying to make everybody's content and try to get it done. And I'm trying to hit these high school games, but then I realized, like, I was just overexpanding myself. But I realized, like, I need myself to slow down. So the reason why I say, like, value and self-time is because, like, I've been doing this for like 3 to 4 years already. So then it gives me time to, like, just lay back and realize, like, I'm my own boss. Like, when people tell me, like, because I used to wait next to my phone every single day, and we used to work together at Wolf Lodge, you know? So, like, I would leave work to film, you know? Like, I would never say no to film. But now it's like, I have my own open mind to say, like, what time do you want to work? Like, I need to put this in my schedule. Let me look into my schedule, you know? And then I realized, like, my value as well, like, because I used to, like, put, like, money aside, but now I use money as a way of, like, a resource to, like, be able to drive somewhere and then pay for my bills and pay for all this tech I'm going for. So, you know, like, when I know someone's lowballing me, I tell them, like, yo, can we raise it up a little bit? Even though I always ask, like, what's your budget? I always start with that
Right.
question.
And I feel like that's where you're so right about value and time, because that's just like, you know, how it is. That, you know, with that saying, like, no amount of money ever bought a second of time. Because, like, you can work your ass off and you can make all this money, but I feel like at the end of the day, if you don't kind of value, you know, what's going on around you, your health, and all of that, it's kind of tough for you to, you know, handle everything that's being thrown at you. So, you know, with that being said, you know, our last question of the night for you would just be, you know, what did you do to kind of help differentiate the things that you would value and the things that you would kind of just set back? And then to add on to that as well, you know, what's your best advice to, like, young videographers who are, like, you know, pushing themselves a little too much and are literally, like, you know, on that brink of exhaustion, where they're, like, always putting out content, and, like, to the point where they don't, you know what to do with their time anymore.
Shoot, that's a really big question. That's a really big question. Honestly, I would, dang, when so the best advice, like, I'll just start with the best advice, like, because that's, like, the overall, like, question you're asking me is, you gotta, like, if you know you love what you're doing, you'll do anything for it, you know? Like a relationship, right? Like, if you know you're gonna put, like, if you love this relationship so much, then you're gonna put effort into it, right? That's, like, for anything else. But like, if you're, like, someone that just thinks, like, oh, I have time to, like, film, let me try to do it, but you don't have, like, a soul passion for it, then there's no point of doing it. So if you end up losing that passion, just stop, because you're just making yourself unhappy. But if you feel like, because I've been to the point where, like, I really questioned everything, I didn't know what's gonna go on. But what I did is that I kept doing it because I believed in it. Because I'm telling you right now, when I first started this, no one had faith in me. Absolutely no one. Because, like, this is just something that out of the blue, because I didn't finish community college. I only got a certificate. I never went to a Cal State. I barely finished senior year because it's just, like, B's and like low C's, you know? Because, like, when I went to school, like, nothing really, like, caught to me until I went to a film class. Like, every single film class, I either had a B or an A because I put in that work to, like, educate myself. So the thing is, like, if you're willing to learn from your mistakes and then put yourself on a high standard, like, if you fail high, then that means you failed high. Instead of, like, and you at least tried, you know, compared to, like, anything else. Like, if you just say, I'm gonna go film, but you never did it, but then you filmed and then you did it and you messed up, then you learn from it.
Right, I hear you. And I think, you know, that's a really good point where you're saying is just about the passion and, you know, loving what you do. And I feel like during these times, it's like not a lot of people have that kind of passion. And, you know, I would love to have you on for, like, a second segment of this, you know, where we go more into that passion. But with that being said, you know, thank you so much for coming onto the episode tonight and for kind of shedding some light on that film industry and the creative industry, where like we kind of have to appreciate the people that put out that content, you know. So yeah, follow my guy at that Calvin Mai. Make sure to look him up, you know, show him some love, because you know a lot of people like him, like his peers and his fellow creatives, you know, they really do a lot of work, and it can go underappreciated definitely by people that are just, you know, scrolling through like everyday social media. So yeah, thank you again, Calvin, and we'll see you for the next one.
No problem. Thank you for having me, guys. Really appreciate it.